before thee this morning. Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and it reads, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Amen.
Good morning, church. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you have brought us. I pray that you use me as your vessel and that your voice be heard, not mine, and your truth revealed. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak on my behalf for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. A woman told her neighbor a secret. She explained that when she was first married, they had financial issues. But what made it even worse or more difficult was when the husband would take money from her, money that was meant for household expenditure. Then she had to come up with a solution. She would hide the money so her husband wouldn't find it. And the lady neighbor asked her, "And where did you hide the money?" The woman answered, "Inside the family Bible. I know it's safe there because he never opens it." Did you know there are other things hidden in the Bible? For instance, secrets to marital happiness, solutions to family conflicts, answers to the problems between couples, duties and rights of marriage partners, guidelines of young couples that are planning to get married, and methods for helping your home to be a small slice of heaven on earth. All these topics are covered in the Bible. It is the best source of advice for married couples, for those who are playfully planning to get married. Every couple wants a joyful, lasting marriage, not a perfect one, because no such marriage exists. But a marriage that is strong, tender, resilient, and God-honoring. The beautiful thing is that God didn't leave us guessing about how to build such relationships. Right at the beginning of Scripture, before sin entered the world, and before culture shaped our expectations, God gave us a blueprint. Genesis 2:24. Thank you, David, for reading this Scripture today. Genesis 2:24 is only one verse, but it contains three powerful principles that can transform any marriage, whether newly formed, decades old, or even in need of renewal, and those also planning to get married. These principles are simple enough for a child to understand, yet deep enough to sustain a lifetime of love. With that in mind, let's look more closely at our opening text today, Genesis 2:24. It contains three secrets for a happy marriage. If you're writing down, we are getting to the first secret. The first part of Genesis 2:24 says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother. The first secret is leaving. God calls us to sacrifice old paths when we get married. There are things we must go off in order to have a successful marriage. And what are those things, really? For example, if a man is divided between his wife, between his mother and his wife, he will be a little weak husband. He cannot satisfy the needs of the mother and satisfy the needs of the wife. Even if he tries, they are not going to be happy, both of them. A mother is like a man's homeland. A wife is like a new country to which he can only live in one place, or to which he can move. He has moved. No one can live in two different countries at the same time. Though he may love both of them, he can only live in one place. He becomes a loyal citizen to a new nation. The country is called marriage. I've heard people joke or talk about when a man or a young man who is getting married being close to their mom. And some girls say, I don't want a boyfriend, I don't want a man that is very close to their mom. Because probably might be when they get married, if they live close, you'll be going to mom to get some food when the wife is waiting at home. Some do that. A newly wedded couple, the wife one day asked, told the husband, darling, I think it's time you stopped running to your mother for everything. He replied, absolutely. I will ask her how to do that. Another newlywed, after a couple of months, the wife asked the husband, do you miss your mom? He said, only when you tell me no. It's going to be trouble there. God's word teaches that a man is to have an intimate connection with his wife alone, above his parents and children. That doesn't mean a man should no longer respect his parents. It does suggest that his wife is to come first. His first duty is to her. And how does leaving look like? Man leaving as the first secret, leaving your family, leaving your mom. It means your spouse becomes your closest human relationship. It means decisions are made together, not dictated by outside voices. It means healthy boundaries with extended family. It means emotional loyalty shifts from parent to partner. The same is true for the wife. Her husband must have priority in her life. Consider the life of Adam and Eve. When they first came together, there were no other human beings on the planet. There was no neighbors, there were no friends, no relatives, no in-laws. It was just each other. Their home was a priority, and we must guard our home circles and make our spouses a priority as well. Relatives may visit, but not all the time. Remember, nothing comes between a husband and wife, even relatives. If couples follow this advice, their pathway through life would be much smoother. And now we come to the second secret of a happy marriage. The second secret is found in the middle of the verse. If I could read that verse again, if you allow me. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So the second secret, it's right in the middle. And is united to his wife. It's about unity. Being united in marriage happens on many different levels. And one of them is being in harmony is on the emotional level. Consider the following scenario. A married couple is driving down the street. They are attending a dinner engagement with friends. Their friends have moved to a different place where they've never been. So the wife is looking for the address on the map while the husband is driving. She will, of course, direct the husband where they are going. Before I finish this story, I want to suggest that this situation provides many wonderful opportunities for a husband and wife to be united in heart. Now let's see what happens. It is 8 o'clock in the evening. Traffic is very busy. I know you know how traffic can be sometimes, especially when you're going to work in the morning and when going back home in the evening. This was the case. They are already late for their dinner. As they approach an intersection, the husband asks, "Do I turn left or do I turn right?" She answers, "Left." He argues, "No, I think we should turn right." She is quiet and doesn't want to argue, especially since they are meeting friends. She doesn't want to spoil the moment. So the husband turns right instead of left. He immediately realizes he made a mistake. He turns to his wife and says, "I'm sorry, you are right. I was wrong." She replies, "I forgive you. I suppose it's okay if we are a few minutes late." But then he says, "If you knew I was gonna turn the wrong direction, why didn't you insist a little bit more?" She replies, "If I have to choose between being right and being happy, I would rather choose to be happy." We almost got into a big argument. I want us to have a pleasant evening. I would also want to have a good evening. How much time and energy do we spend on trying to be right? Or trying to prove that we are right? How often is it worth our time to insist on our own ways or prove our positions that to the expense of emotional harmony? It would be good for us to stop and ask ourselves, am I more interested in being right or in being happy? Notice how Ellen White encourages to be careful about how we should relate to the weaknesses of our spouses. Let all seek to discover the excellences rather than the defects. Often it's our own attitude, the atmosphere that surrounds ourselves which determines what will be revealed to us in another. The Adventist Home, page 105. Additionally, however carefully and wisely marriage may have been entered into, few couples are completely united when the marriage ceremony is performed. The real union of the two in wedlock is the work of the after years. Adventist Home, page 105. We cannot be united with our spouse if we are primarily focused on being right and correcting them. We need to make effort to understand the heart of our spouse. We need to be patient. We need to be understanding. We must let them discover some things on their own. We must be willing to forgive and let go our ideas and consider the needs of the other. Such a union does not happen on the honeymoon. This type of character growth happens over a period of years. If you are writing this down, we are now going to cover the third secret of a happy marriage. The last part of Genesis 2:24 gives us the third secret of a happy marriage. And they became one flesh. If we are to enjoy happiness in marriage, we must become one flesh. But what does this mean? And how does this bring us great joy or happiness? Notice some of the different ways people interpret one flesh. We have around four of how people interpret this phrase, one flesh. One flesh means and husband and wife hold everything in common with each other. All their positions belong to each other. All of their privileges and rights are subject to one another. All of their interests and cares are shared with one another. They live in unity of mind and heart. And another one. One flesh speaks of the physical union between married couples that can result in having children. And the other one, one flesh describes a spiritual union in marriage. Together they represent God, as if the two of them were one person. This is a union of souls. And the last one, one flesh simply means that this is a monogamous union between two people that is violated if a third person is included. The opposite of one flesh occurs when there is polygamy, illegitimate divorce, abuse, pornography, fornication, or adultery. There is value and truth in all of the above definitions of one flesh. Perhaps the one most often overlooked is the spiritual union of a couple with God. Imagine a triangle. Imagine a triangle with God at the top and husband and wife at the corner angles. God at the top, wife there and husband there. I heard one somewhere. God at the top, wife on this side, and husband on the other side. If the husband and wife stay in their respective places, they would stay equally distant to God and from each other. Now, if the husband moves sideways where the wife is, to his wife, or if she moves sideways towards her husband, it would appear they are becoming united. But they are still distant from God. Such a union expends lots of energy and is not truly satisfying. If a husband and wife stay in the respective places, they would stay equally distant from God and from each other. However, when both husbands and wives make it a priority to move closer to God, they will automatically move closer towards each other. As they both move upwards the triangle, as they move upward towards the Lord, the distance between them will become smaller. This will bring genuine unity. This is the secret of becoming one flesh, being close to God. God is the true catalyst to bring happiness to our marriage couples. Here is how Ellen White describes this unity. Make Christ first and last and best in everything. Constantly behold him, and your love for him will daily become deeper and stronger. Your love for each other will grow deeper and stronger. The Adventist Home, page 105. Jesus captures this part when he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." Matthew 6 and 33. Someone else once said as well, another way to put it, when all you have is God, you have everything you need. When we put Jesus first in our marriages, we will have all the happiness we could ever desire. The story at the beginning of this sermon told about a wife who hid money in a Bible. We have found that there are many more treasures in the world, in the Word of God, that help us to have happy marriages. Perhaps you have never looked to the scripture as much as you would, or as much as we would, so that we can have a happy marriage. I would challenge all husbands and wives to spend time every day reading the Bible, praying together, meditate on scripture passages, memorize. Share what you learn with each other. Seek to understand how much God loves your family and wants you to be happy. He would want us to have a slice of heaven down here in our homes. Pray for your marriage. Pray alone and pray together. Pray for your spouse and your children. And as you prayerfully study the Bible, you will slowly be drawn closer and closer to God, just as that triangle. When you start going up and the wife goes up, when you go towards God, you become closer together. Have you put these words, have you put these three secrets of happy marriage into practice? Have you separated yourself from anything that would prevent you from being united with your spouse? Are you putting God first in your life and in your marriage, in your children's life? Are you investing enough time with your children? and making Christ the center of your home. If not, then just a special request. In the quietness of your heart, now, pray to Jesus and say, Dear Lord, I want to put you first in my life, and I want to do everything I can to be united to my spouse, for my spouse to be. Please help me with this commitment. If you practice these three secrets every day, you will experience a level of happiness that you, in your marriage, you have never known before. God bless you.